It's Friday the 19th of June 2015 from the Conrad Hotel on Hong Kong Island. Just had the great news this morning by email, which my colleagues on the Journal of Advanced Nursing will have got overnight, that the journal has regained its place in the top 10 on the impact factor league table. This is great news. The league table now contains 110 journals, so that's a significant increase relative to the other journals. Our impact factor is now 1.741, the highest it's ever been, and I'm very pleased about that. The International Journal of Nursing Studies, our main rival, is now number one, so well done to them with an impact factor of over two. Maintaining our place in the top 10 and possibly getting up to the top 5 was one of my stated aims when I took over the Journal of Advanced Nursing, and then when we slipped, my aim's always been to get us back into the top 10, so I hope we can stay there. For anybody not sure about the impact factor, I'll see if I can explain it. It's not all that easy to explain verbally, but I'll try. The impact factor is based on the number of citations to papers in your journal, and it's an arbitrary measure developed many years ago, originally designed to help librarians to decide which journals to purchase for their libraries. However, it's become an indicator of quality, a controversial indicator of quality, but one which we do have to pay attention to, because people make decisions about whether to publish in journals or not, and also to purchase them based on the impact factor. It's by no means perfect, and I'm not trying to defend it, but the definition is based on citations. So the impact factor that's just been published is the 2014 impact factor, so we're always a year behind. This is 2015, so it's always the previous year's impact factor that's published, because it takes that long to gather all the stats and all the citations, and it's Thomson Reuters who curate this. So the impact factor for 2014 is citations in 2014 to papers published in 2012 and 2013. So it's impact factor based on the number of citations in one particular year to those articles published in the previous 2 years. So it's a ratio. And the more the papers are cited clearly in that time, the bigger the impact factor, and the more papers you publish, unfortunately, the smaller the impact factor, because the number of citations is the numerator and the number of papers is the denominator. And at JAN we suffer slightly from being a large journal. Well, not the largest. The largest journal was the last one I edited, which was the Journal of Clinical Nursing. It publishes most papers. But we are by far the most cited journal, but it just shows you how size has an effect on this particular figure. Not everything counts for impact. The papers that are counted for the impact factor are those which are the original papers, the original research papers, reviews and such like, the sort of main bulk of the journal, but editorials and such like, commentaries and letters and correspondence, they don't. However, if an editorial or a piece of correspondence cites a paper, then that does count. It's called a free cite, and that goes into the numerator. So we always like to see correspondence about papers and editorials which cite the papers within that particular period. One of the ironies of the impact factor that many people don't understand, that if a paper is published in a particular year, for example in 2015, and cited in that year, it does not count towards the impact factor. And in fact it's lost to that particular figure. So that's an oddity. There are alternative metrics, but they're all based on citations, and they all ultimately correlate very highly with the impact factor, so nothing else has really knocked this off its particular perch. We're also paying attention now to citations, or mentions, should I say, in social media like Twitter, Facebook and blogs and so on. So if these are picked up, these go into a new calculation, relatively new, called the ALT metric. Alternative metrics, and these are also being published on the Journal of Advanced Nursing webpage. There isn't a league table yet that I know of alt metrics, but you can be sure that there will be one before too long. So, some really good news. This is my last day, my last full day in Hong Kong. I got up fairly late today. I was tired, went to the gym, had a good session, and in about half an hour's time, it's 11:30 now, I head down to Tsim Sha Tsui, which is TST, which is over on the other side. I can see it from my window here in the hotel. It's on the Kowloon side, for lunch with Graham Smith and Fawi G. I've been across to the other side and back, the other side being Kowloon, which is the bit of Hong Kong that's attached to mainland China, across to what's known here as TST or Tsim Sha Tsui, to K11, which is one of the fairly iconic buildings across there, a very strange shaped building, and with restaurants and shops in there I'd never actually been in before. I'd seen it many times, so I met Graham Smith and Fawi G there. Interesting to catch up with Fawi, who was at Chinese University of Hong Kong and has recently left and appears to be doing a variety of freelance work here. Fawi's certainly never short of something to do. He's been a very loyal friend for a very long time here, so I was very glad to see him and catch up. And then later, just as we're walking to the MRT, the MTR, which is the underground railway system here. It's called the MTR here and the MRT in Taiwan. I always get confused. I was able to catch up a little bit with Graham. And frankly, don't know when I'll see either of them again. Graham sometime in the UK towards the end of the year, because he's going to do a PhD exam for one of my Taiwanese students. Fawi, not sure. But I might try and stop off here in February next, when I pass through on the way to Taiwan to go to an educational conference which I'm giving a keynote speech at. So I'm just back in my room, glad to be out of the heat. It's 36 degrees, it's not quite so humid today, but the heat is just incredible. And it's very bright, hardly a cloud in the sky, so extremely hot out there. So I'm glad to be out of that and back here. And I thought I'd come back, have a cup of coffee, and I managed to break the Nespresso machine, or at least it fused or something while I was using it. But the maid came and replaced it, and now I've got a decent cup of coffee. That's my last full day in Hong Kong for this visit over. I'll be here tomorrow morning for a while and then head off to the airport. I fly to Seoul at 2:30 tomorrow afternoon. I've checked in already. I'm guessing with the MERS crisis, the Middle Eastern Respiratory System crisis in Seoul, that the plane might be quite empty, which is a shame because if it's full, I normally get upgraded, but sometimes when they're empty and there's nobody in business class on regional flights, I get upgraded to business class. I'm just flying in economy this time. This afternoon I've been working on a set of PowerPoints that I want to use for teaching about writing for publication in the NHS, and they'll go up on our university website, and then we'll give access to colleagues in Sheffield Teaching Hospitals Trust and elsewhere. And we'll be able to claim money for that from our non-medical education training budget from the NHS. So they should be up and running soon. I've done all the PowerPoints. What I need to do now is to make voiceovers with articulate presentation and get them onto our eBridge website, our virtual learning environment at the University of Hull. So tonight I went down to the shopping centre below the hotel. There's always a shopping centre below these hotels. And went to Dan Ryan's Bar. There's a few of these in Hong Kong. There's one here on the island, there's one in Kowloon, there's one up at Kowloon Tong. And had some Asahi beer. Caught up with all my emails, Facebook, Twitter, all my #FF. Contacts, that's hash Friday favourites, I think is what it stands for, and did those, and then I'm back in my room, and it's once again time for bed.